Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Emoji moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Ameth, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
Let's hear it for the boys, because they are back for another fun adventure on the television screen with Gen V Season 2, Episode 4, Bags. I'm a bag, I guess. I'm Alex.
Let's hear it for the bags. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And if you think plastic bags blowing in the wind are the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, well, you're not going to get any of that this episode. But spoiler warning here, giving a brief recap of the episode. The big main draw is after Jordan's confession at Thomas Godalkin Day last episode. Jordan is being sent to battle Marie to determine the new number one of the university. In the gender bender versus the blood bender, the hostility at the university, basically a big cage match between the two of them, coordinated by Cypher. And we get that, but we also get Cypher coaching Marie in her powers, leading to the not-so-unfortunate death of Elon Musk. Explain more about... Oh, you're bummed, Pete?
Yeah, I did not want that goat to die.
Pete's a goat lover.
I couldn't watch.
He's a goat lover and an Elon Musk lover, right, Pete?
Whoa. I'm talking about the goat here. We're just talking about the goat.
Are we? Anyway, at the end of the episode...
You're saying
also,
Elon is the goat, P, is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying there was a goat named Elon, and unfortunately, he died tragically. Or is she? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out. This is a mystical world, so maybe the real Elon Musk had his brain transported inside of this goat and died. I guess we'll find out in future episodes. Regardless, Jordan and Kate kind of settle their beef a little bit in this episode and investigate Cypher, and particularly the big safe or locked room, and they discover a horribly mutilated and burnt body inside a hyperbaric chamber in there. And last... we get some weird twists on Cypher's powers. That's been a big mystery this season. We find out he doesn't have V in his blood, but he does seem to have powers, which is to manipulate people like a meat puppet with no strings, the way that it's described in the episode. And ultimately, Marie forces Cypher puppets Jordan in the fight, who doesn't want to fight Marie. Marie forces Cypher out and almost bursts Jordan, killing them the same way that she killed Elon Musk, the real one in the real world, earlier in this episode.
The goat.
And we also find out a little bit more about the resistance, particularly that Allie has the power to control her pubic hair. Classic. Yeah. The boys detail. If
Bushmaster.
Bushmaster has entered the chat. How about the Medusa reference, which... you know, ostensibly it was referencing the Medusa from Greek mythology, but we know as comic fans... it's a reference to the Marvel Comics Inhuman character, Medusa.
You know what's funny? I didn't even think about the mythology thing when they said that. I was like, yes, Medusa of the Inhumans, period.
Also, she says Medusa, but without snakes. I was like, oh, what a funny way of like going into comicdom and then out real fast. It was interesting.
Like the weaving of pubic hair. I do think, speaking of bags, don't forget, Alex, the nut bag we almost took to the face in that toilet shot there.
Good point. And when Pete said the weaving of pubic hair, we should tell you that Pete is has a pubic loom, and he makes blankets, towels, dishcloths, so many
dream oven catchers. Mitts. Don't forget dream catchers.
Better way to catch a dream than with pubes.
Pete, is this okay? I don't know if it's okay, but we can plug. You have an Etsy shop, which is Pete's Pubes, and that's live right now, and you can get all of his goods there. They're really... Well, I don't want to say soft, but they're very nicely produced at the very least.
I don't know where you're getting all this hair. Who's your source? But Pubes for Noobs by Pila Page is just a great line.
Speaking of great lines, we start with a truth bomb at the start of the episode.
We do. I do want to talk about this a little bit because, as usual, with the boys at Gen V, they're delving right into stuff going on right now. We get the truth bomb with Firecracker. We get pronouns he, she, liar.
Liar.
They definitely hit very specifically on the trans bathroom thing, and that's what they're going on in it as well. This is, in the real world, a pretty touchy time, to put it lightly, for trans people. And I just want to say personally, support trans brothers and sisters. Trans rights are human rights. But how do you feel about that? How do you feel about, like, seeing this on TV in this ostensibly satirical and humorous context, given everything that's going on in the world? Not to make it too heavy up front.
Well, it seems like you are.
It is up front on our podcast. It's also the first thing on the show. So it's definitely up front in both capacities. Mm-hmm. First off, I just think it's amazing how prescient this show is. Like, this was made, a year ago? Probably scripts written at least a year ago. And this, like, the scapegoating of Jordan in this episode is what is happening in our country at the same time. And it's gotten, like, this is such a topical thing in a horrifying way, obviously, but I cannot believe the way this show just doesn't miss predicting the often dark paths that we keep walking in this world.
Yeah, to get back to your kind of questions, Albatron, I think the humor is a necessity of life for me. I need humor to be able to get through all the madness. So, you know, if they're making fun of things that I believe in, I can laugh. I can, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not this, I can take a couple. I can give a couple. So it's, you know, that's what's nice about this show. And I think a little bit of what Justin's talking about is they can go anywhere. They can kind of comment on things. And yeah, so it's great to have a show like this, you know. So I'm happy that even though it's a gross and over the top and some of the things are scarring me for life, it's still important to be able to kind of do stuff like this, you know.
Well, and I think the other part of it is they are very clear who the joke is on, and it is not Jordan in any capacity. Like, Marie and Jordan and every other character that we're identifying with is very clear about how stupid and beyond the pale this is. The joke is on Firecracker and, by extension, these conservative mouthpieces, not the other way around. So it's uncomfortable to watch because I would love to divorce myself from the absolute horror show that's happening in the real world. But I do think they're coming from the right direction, at least.
Oh,
well, it's showing, like, we know on this, if between the boys and Gen V, that Firecracker is a villain and not someone to be trusted, someone that is constantly just grifting to try to get ahead. So, like, I don't ever think, watching this, we're ever like, that makes sense what that character's saying. Like, that they're positioned, Firecracker's positioned from the jump to be the bad guy here, and it is spin, and it's like the sharpest satire. You have to just do it to really make the point. You can't call it out as you're making the case.
The only little asterisk I'll put there, and this is not actually on the show, but as we know very well, there are far too many people who watch the show, they're like, yeah, Homelander rules, which is to the point, we've talked about this a lot when we talk about the boys in particular, that the show has had to be like, hey, so you guys know Homelander is bad. Like, they went from being like relatively subtle about it in a way that I don't think was really subtle at all to literally saying this stuff out loud and showing you that he is 100% not the good guy. So I don't know. I wonder. There are people watching the show that I imagine watch Firecracker and they're like, ha ha ha, that's fun, period. And that's all they take away from it.
Same thing with the Colbert Report. You know what I mean? There are people watching and are like, this guy gets me, you know? So it was like, this is a joke. This is not.
How do these people live? How do they function in the world? I just don't understand.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to sit here and talk down to people or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's got their journey. Everybody's got their, you know, when they come online, when they realize all that kinds of stuff, people have got to go through that. You know what I mean? So We're supposed to be laughing and being like, this is ridiculous. So that's.
But there's a little bit of those people hearing what they want to hear in it.
And happens everywhere.
That's no reason to not make art if some smaller percentage of people are going to misinterpret it. I would argue, as a counterpoint to you, Alex, that the vast majority of people get the satire and understand mm-hmm. what the show is trying to communicate.
Yeah,
I think that's totally fair. Why don't we move on and talk about some other things then? We get another cameo in the line of cameos immediately after Firecracker. We get Seth Reed from Vaught Marketing shows up with his as usual terrible ideas.
Can I leave? I'm scared for my life. Can I leave?
Yeah. The one surviving marketing guy, because didn't they kill the other marketing guy in The Boys season 4 finale, I think?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
I do like the way, like, for as much as we're just had a very serious discussion about satire in a scary issue and situation, this show also is just great at just hammering how shitty Hollywood people are and entertainment people. And this guy, like, the gender bender versus the blood render, legit, I brought in some legit crunch time motherfuckers here. It's like, it's so funny. And honestly, I've heard people talk like this in my real life. If you haven't, it's very accurate reporting from the inside.
While I'm looking through my notes here, we get to see a little more of this Greg character. We met him previously in Modesty Monarch's class, but he's Allie's brother. What do you think about him and what's going on?
Well, this is, I'm kind of a little worried about a Justin love triangle here going on because I still am shipping Emma and the crazy puppet dude. So,
You think there might be a triangle between Emma, Sam, and Justin? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Why was I in there? Because I love triangles.
You love triangles. You're like constantly hoping that.
Have you ever been in a situation where you love a love triangle and then it turns into a love rhombus and you're like, oh, I love this too, and then you have a love triangle with a love triangle and love rhombus?
Yeah, you connect two triangles and make a square.
I don't think the thing you should be loving is the shapes. You should be loving the people. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. Good message.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's Pete's shape agenda. Well, I don't know how you have time for your pubes for noobs and this shape cause you're pursuing.
It's all about really scheduling and knowing your schedule. You know what I mean?
It's really great.
Yeah.
I do love love triangles. If you're not competing for your love, what's the point? I say.
What?
The heart wants a fight, not to be just easy.
I disagree,
dripping.
Sir.
Okay. Yes,
and real quick, how does your wife feel about that?
Yeah. Well, pretty good, but don't tell Catherine.
Yeah. Oh, the love triangle is coming from you, not like you hired a guy to pursue your wife to make it more interesting.
Wow, that's a hell of a triangle that they're in there.
Are we talking
about
the
pursuing
show?
My wife?
Can we?
I don't know. Yes,
I need money, so.
Alex is pursuing my wife, and honestly, you're really good at it, Alex. You're a charmer.
Thank you. She's great.
Alex, let's do a temp check. How are you feeling about your boy Cypher here? This is
Hold on. Why don't we talk about this love triangle? Quit moving on because you're uncomfortable.
Okay.
A classic Pete move. I agree. This does feel like, I don't know if it's a love triangle, but it's definitely like Emma feels like her relationship with Sam is over. She doesn't realize that Sam was under Kate's control and was addicted to Kate brainwashing his feelings away.
Yeah.
I think he's going to come out of that, and we're going to set up a I wouldn't call it a natural, like, Archie, Betty, Veronica-style love triangle. I think it's going to be a bloodbath of some sort. So that'll be interesting. And then we talked about another love triangle last
week. I don't know, man.
Week.
New guy showing up. He is already like a friend of her new gang and throwing around free weed. That's going to be tough for Emma to make some tough choices.
I know you're in love, Pete, but we're talking about Emma here.
I'm just saying.
I thought you were going in this direction, Pete, but the reason I brought this up is this guy totally sends up my alarm bells here because he's just
don't
like
trust him.
He's an immediately nice, conventionally attractive dude who shows up and is like, "Yeah, I'm just like nice about everything."
So you don't trust attractive dudes?
that's not how this world works. Like, when you have a dude who looks like Golden Boy, or honestly, he is a blonde dude in a world that is run by Aryans at this point, that makes that sort of like sends the bristles on the back of my neck up a little bit. So I guess we'll see. But I don't know. I'm suspicious, is my point.
I hear you, Alex. I felt that, though. I do think it might be a case of Emma going with like a Captain America type, but then realizing or remembering that she loves Sam, someone who is much more complicated, who is dealing with issues and stuff. So it could be what you're saying. But my gut was it's more in an Emma choosing what her feelings are chasing and what matters more to her.
Makes sense. Why don't we move on to Pete's favorite character, Cypher, and talk about him? That's because there is a lot of stuff going on here.
Your favorite character.
Pete's
your
favorite character
is Cypher. So I don't know.
I'm looking at this video right now, and it says Pete CBC, which I believe stands for Pete Cypher Baby Cypher. Is that?
Yeah.
It's comic book club? I can't believe I didn't explain that to you.
I'm not familiar.
I'm pretty sure that's
that thing that's right next to your head in the corner.
No, yeah. That's also Cypher Baby Cypher. I put the wrong direction. There we go.
Thank you.
Anyway, lots of stuff going on with Cypher here that we could talk about. I don't even know where to start necessarily, because we got the coaching thing with Marie. We've also got the revelation about his powers. We've also got his ball sack, which Pete likes to talk about. So where do you want to start, Pete? This is your favorite character. You take it away.
Let's talk about, you know, I liked this discussion that I'm very happy that our characters are talking to each other. Marie realizing she needs to get Kate in the fold is very smart. I was very happy about all that. And, you know, they come up with this plan, and, you know, it's to kind of try to get to the bottom of Cypher. So here's my question. If you break into the safe room, we finally get into this room, and there's an old-timey record playing and a creepy old dude in a baby chamber. It kind of comes back to this idea of, like, do you kill old man Hitler baby thing to maybe distraught his powers or whatever.
Not every person is some age version of Hitler.
Well, okay, I'm just saying that, like, we have this old kind of
I think
of baby.
You're just talking about murder. Like, that's all you're talking about. There's no time travel involved. There's no Hitler.
So you guys didn't think when they break into the room, I was like, all right, kill that thing, and then his powers go away? I'm the only guy who thought that?
Yeah, that's fine. Here's but again, that's murder. That's not – that doesn't have anything to do with the baby Hitler scenario.
Yeah, Hitler came out of nowhere on that one.
Well, it's an old – it looked like a
old
baby
is opposite
chamber.
Of baby. Old is opposite of baby.
Yeah.
You know,
he's only got so much of him left that it fits in a little baby crib. So I was like, this has got to be the source of his power somehow. It's the source of his power.
Sure.
The fact that they were like,
how many nursing homes are you barred from at this point? Just asking for no particular.
You know, one in each state. You know what I mean?
One. You've gone to every state, even Alaska?
You got to rotate. You got to rotate.
Really nice to put a trip to Hawaii in there.
And congratulations on getting the next season of Dr. Death to be about you. I'm really excited for that.
Oh, yikes. Okay. This is getting creepy even for me. All right. So I do think that I was surprised that they were just like, oh, we'll just take a picture and then talk about it later. I was like, well.
Yeah. I just want to point out that so far your conversation about Cypher has not mentioned Cypher at all. You've talked about many other characters and things.
We're talking about the source of Cypher's power here.
What is the source of Cypher's power?
I think it's the old dude in the crib.
Well, let me say, I do sort of agree with Pete there. The hyperbaric chamber, he called the person there his father.
Right.
But I sort of agree that it might just be him. Maybe there's a projection here, or if his power is to puppet people.
Dorian Gray situation, maybe?
I was thinking Dorian Gray as well. If his power is to puppet people, maybe he's just puppeting whoever the body that Cypher is, and he's the one who's actually running stuff. So that feels very real. It feels like that's why it's on lock, because it's actually him there, and that that's what we're going to get back to. And that also explains why Cypher is so reckless with everything, because this world doesn't seem real to him, because he's literally in a tiny chamber, so he can throw, like the previous Leon made a good case that this guy's a maniac who's doing anything that he wants.
Well, and I'll throw out there, I know we talked about this a little bit the last episode, but I think it's not too much of a leap to say the horribly burned body of the hyperbaric chamber is probably Thomas Godalkin.
Godalkin, yeah.
And what I said last week about thinking that Cypher is Thomas Godalkin, if what you're saying, Justin, is correct, I think that kind of follows. Right.
Well, it makes sense why he wouldn't have any V in his blood, because he's not the soup. It's
right.
Godalkin in the chamber who's the soup, and he's just puppeting a random human in through this system. So I think that's a nice explanation for all of that. The thing that is interesting to me is he's such an asshole to everyone and is like manipulating everyone. But I believe him when he's talking to Marie. He switches tones with her.
Yeah, he does.
He switches tones with her and talks about her as in a very fatherly way, mm-hmm. which I think then backs what we're saying here of the he's Thomas Godalkin, and Marie is not only someone that he sees as a child, but also his like his greatest experiment coming to fruition.
Yeah, his work finally paying off. Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I mean, this is definitely connecting dots, because what we know about Thomas Godalkin at this point is that one scene right at the beginning of the season, and then also that there was a Thomas Godalkin day, and that's pretty much it. But we've seen Cypher as Dr. Gold looking over the Odessa Project, which we now know is Marie, and he talks about that she can be more powerful than Homelander. So I kind of wish all of this world wasn't about, like, let's make a thing that's more powerful than Homelander. But at the same time, if that's what it is, if that was what the point of the Odessa Project is, like, yeah, like you're saying, Justin, that would definitely explain why he's honestly coaching her and trying to make her more powerful.
Yeah.
What the end goal is, like, if it's just beating Homelander, like every single episode of every show in this universe is, then sure. But maybe there's something a little more there as well.
Well, that was interesting, because the way that they kind of explained it was nice, because Marie was trying to figure it out. Like, well, why would you want to, you know, try to take down Homelander? And there was just this kind of moment where she was like, oh, so great, right? Because that's kind of good news that they also want to take down Homelander. So I don't know. Maybe there's a team upcoming where they can kind of work together, but I don't know. It was a cool, powerful moment that wasn't over-explained, which was cool. We got to kind of connect our own dots, and I'm sure it'll kind of get explained better later. But yeah, I thought it was a real cool moment.
Plus, that dude pushed Thomas Godalkin Day. Like, he's celebrating himself. You can't name a holiday after yourself. It's fucked up.
What about JT Sizzle Day in upstate New York?
Well, that's technically
legit
about me, but it's really about lumberjack games, fried dough, and like doing great and interesting tricks on tiny horses. ponies, they're tiny horses.
Yeah.
We talked about this a little earlier, but I just really like seeing everybody kind of working together, not everybody, but mostly everybody, to stop the fight between Marie and Jordan. It's just satisfying when you see a bunch of superheroes working together for a common cause, including Allie and Harper here as well. Just a really fun sequence. And I also love, even though it's a very writerly thing, I love a villain that's always knows exactly what's going on and is two of steps ahead of everybody. How did Cypher know that? I don't know. Like, how did he know there was a camera there? How did he figure all that out? Honestly, not
sure. Kate was doing a horrible job. She kept looking back at the camera.
For sure. But I do think that's in the writer's room. He knows they're ahead because the writers know what's going on, and that's kind of how it works. But it's still fun to watch at the same time.
Well, it has to come back to his powers, I think. If his thing is like he controls meat bags, maybe in the same way that Marie does. Maybe that's another reason that the Cypher character if it is Godolkin, is connected to her, is like he made a protege out of her, essentially. Oh. He can probably then sense Emma in the room. Mm-hmm. He can sense these people and maybe sort of do a little bit of getting in their brains. If he's a blood render as well, he's able to like maybe even hear their, feel their thoughts through their blood mm-hmm. somehow.
That's a really interesting idea, because we did get Victoria Newman had essentially the same powers as Marie. So we tied that back in a certain way when we thought she was just a head popper based on the boys. So if Thomas Godolkin or Cypher also has a variation of those powers, that's an interesting way to go. Like, we're already, like we talked about last episode, spending a fair amount of time this season actually exploring how these powers work rather than like, yeah, they just are. And I don't need that explanation necessarily. I don't want to go into like midi-chlorian territory, but if they are delving into it further and finding ways of being like, not, yeah, these are totally random, but they are actually like, they're subsets. Like there are bloodbenders, like you're talking about, Justin, or there are, I don't know, portal people, like the guy who keeps pulling things out of his ass or whatever there is going on.
Oh, yeah,
the
asshole guy. We didn't see him this
time. We didn't see him. I miss him.
He's busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss him. I miss how seeing
he's probably on the asshole tour. I think, you know, speaking a little bit of like, they played with this kind of all-knowing villain a little bit. That's why it was weird. When he went to the bathroom, it seemed like such a strategic move. He's like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I was like, oh, he knows she's in there somehow. But then once we got the nut shot, it was like that was really all it was about, and he didn't really know she was there. So it kind of
or
deflated.
Yeah, but huge bird had dropped the nuts, you know.
What
do we think about Kate? You know, we talked about this also a little bit the last episode, and in terms of redeeming her character or bringing her back into the fold, and that's exactly what happens this episode. I will say I really like how they're doing this, because I like Maddie Phillips as an actress, so it's nice seeing her on the same side, and I like also seeing her making the moves towards people rather than just being like, you come to me. And that all comes from Jordan's speech in the last episode. So I thought there were some nice emotional character moves that are going on this season with her.
And then her kind of saying like, I liked your speech. I'm glad you told the truth and what you said about Andre, which was nice that we got a little mm-hmm. Andre moment. But I do like that, those hard conversations that they were having. I also really loved Emma, like treating her, you know, like, go get me a soda, you know, like, that was fun too. So
I believe it was a hard seltzer, not a soda, but I could be wrong about that.
It was a Pablo Mousse. Yeah. So yeah,
that's soda for me.
That's a seltzer. Sorry to, you know,
but it was like a tall, long one. So isn't that like a White Claw type situation?
Different cans, different things can come in different cans.
I thought it was more of a, like the poppy kind of knockoff soda, you know, where it was like.
I think you need to read some of. We should read.
She says Pamplemousse, which means a play on LaCroix. So it's got to be a seltzer, guys. All right. So
it's not a play on LaCroix. That is LaCroix.
Okay. Well, all right.
But I would also say, Alex, I feel like you need to get your opinion of shapes in order. And I would offer you a website that Pete runs.
Okay.
It's called Shape Up Your Shapes. And you can really think about your judgment of
how much does he charge for that? Because I've already spent most of the money you paid me to pursue your wife on Pete's pubes on Etsy. So,
oh my God. Yeah. These bits are
as long
too.
As the money's going to Pete, and you're going to really enjoy that pubic bathrobe. Just sliding right into your naked
body. Where does he get all the pubes?
Speaking of kind of hard conversations or nice conversations, the Jordan and Kate talk was great. That was fun.
Wait a second, Pete.
Forth.
I think this is suspect. You're all in on Kate again? You trust Kate?
I don't trust Kate, but I
you
like
love Kate
what's
again.
Happening. I like what's happening. The whole Jordan and Kate talk, those four dicks belong to the same guy. That's fun. That's fun.
Here's the thing. I could have predicted this because I don't know if you've seen Pete's username, but Pete CBC stands for Pete Kate Baby Kate. Right?
Yeah, it's true. That's 100% true. Because her name is
spelled
with a C.
All those K's in there, yeah.
No, there's
a
C. Her name's spelled with
a
C. C-A-T-E. The spelling of Kate you don't really see very often. Because here's the thing with your love of Kate. I don't buy it. She's weak right now, and she needs people's help. Don't trust her. I think she's just
she's just an innocent person who loves people who fuck gnomes. Like, why
are
you?
How dare you're being trapped here? You're being trapped. Yes, it's fun to have her have a, create a little secret world of David the Gnome for this guy.
Yeah.
And what a secret world we got to explore with him. We get to see him twice. Once before his dick is shredded by the ceramic insides of that gnome. And once after, and he seems to be maintaining a pretty straight face. Shouts to him. He's a character you should have more sympathy for than Kate, your beloved Kate.
Okay, I'm sorry that I upset you with my gnome fucker take. And
Kate, not great, I say.
Oh,
I feel like I sort of agree with you, Justin, because I do see a world where she and Sam could potentially turn again and go back to the dark side. But I do think everything we've been indicated, at least in this first half of the season, and we're already halfway through the season, is that Kate regrets what she did in The Boys and bending the knee to Homelander, what she did in the finale in terms of, what did she do? She took over, Frenchie, right? She took over his mind and everything, presumably, that happened off screen as well. She also regrets her role in causing a riot on the campus and is trying to get back in good with everybody. So I do think we could see a turn there, but at least over the course of these four episodes, I think what has been indicated, even based on like what she did in the first episode, which was, hey, I begged them to let you guys back on campus, which doesn't make any sense why they would do that.
No.
But fine, we got to go on with the show. Like, that was her first move in the season. So I think what they are telling us is Kate wants to go on a redemption tour. Whether she actually will in the long run and whether they will let her is TBD. But that's where I feel we are now with her character arc.
Yeah. I just think she will change yet again when the wind also changes.
Well, Emma made that joke. She was like, oh, yeah, we all love the, you know.
Emma knows what's up.
Yeah, sure.
She's seen people for who they are, their nutsacks and their buttholes that they hide from the world.
Yeah, she didn't seem excited where she got a high five for that butthole joke, so.
Shout out to the fight, as usual. Great fight scene between Jordan and Marie. Even if it's hard to watch and it hurts them, it's still really well choreographed and well done. Pretty brutal as it's happening. Anything else you guys want to shout out from the episode?
Yeah, there was a lot of funny lines. Unless you had more things to get into, Justin, I didn't want to cut you off.
Yeah, I think just a little talk about Emma. Like, I like the evolution of her powers. I like this little group of almost
her crew.
New mutants.
Got a crew.
Yeah, I like her crew. Now it's four strong, including her, which I think they'll be going to be great foot soldiers. Whether they make it out alive, I guess we'll see. The chameleon character is really, I think she's going to be a player in this game. And I like how Emma's powers seem to be progressing at least a little bit.
Thanks to Emma.
Yeah. Thanks to
that pep talk was beautiful that she gave her.
Oh, you mean to Emma?
Yeah. Yeah. She gave to Emma. Yeah. It really kind of, and that whole bit where she was like, oh, you're back to regular size. How did you get there? You know, that was a nice moment.
Yeah. Really good. I did think an Emma line, the enemy of my enemy is more enemy. I love that. That's something I've thought. I was like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I was like, no, it's not. That's a bad thing that we all take for granted. That's never really true.
No.
Well,
it's just more enemies.
Yes. That's what I was. I felt really seen when I heard that.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you had that moment. It's nice when you feel seen.
Yeah.
Emma has some great lines here where she brings it back to her sabotage plan. That's really fun. I also like the playing with the they set up this thing like we're going to have writers crank it. It'll be a better name. And then the reveal of the Bender Contender. I was like, okay, those writers really were cranking that stuff out.
They weren't really legit crunch time motherfuckers like they thought.
Yeah. And then that thing where it was like, you guys shot a commercial for this? And it was like, no, that was deep fake. That was a funny bit. I also liked, I could not watch the goat. Like, I had to block my eyes because I was like, this goat's going to die. I know this goat's going to die.
You love goats.
I just feel
real quick. That whole section. Oh. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Justin.
I'm going to say that whole section, like, what if I kill Elon? We named them for assholes. Yeah. And then the bring out Julia Fox. I was like, man, great. Just like joke, explanation, joke. Really funny. Yep.
That's and all I liked was gonna say too.
The ease up Yoda line. That was fun. Kind of undercut the tension, I thought. And then it was like, you got to wear a wire. What do you mean? Like a TV show? Like, what do you think this is? The Wire? Oh, that was fun.
I'm back on the ease up Yoda stuff. What this show does really well, and it's hard to do, is they make fun of something and then literally do it. Like, she's like, ease up, Yoda, referencing Star Wars, sort of talking it down, and then literally she has a Luke Skywalker moment seconds later after that.
Yeah.
And, like, that's awesome. That's just such a great flex from a writing perspective.
Yeah, speaking of flexing, I mean, the editing is also great because we see Emma kind of getting flushed, and then we cut to Cypher pouring champagne. I was like, that's just fun editing.
Because champagne is made from toilet water in the region of Champagne.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
The bubbles are from the toilet swirling.
Nope, that's not
true
at all.
Yes, that's how they swirl it. Where do you think bubbles come from? Can you make bubbles?
Yes, you can make bubbles without a
toilet.
How
do you make bubbles? How do you make bubbles, Pete? How do you make bubbles?
I don't need a toilet to make bubbles, dude.
How do you make bubbles? How do you make bubbles?
I go to this grocery store, I buy a little bubble thing, and then I blow bubbles.
That's a different kind of bubble, I think. I'm pretty sure that's a different
bubbles
kind of
bubble. Bubbles are
bubbles. So my answer about toilet water, your answer is like people blow bubble wand bubbles into champagne? Okay. Yeah. Well, who's closer to being right? Honestly, probably me. Probably me. And mine's insane.
I don't think
mine, it was insane. Think about that next time you're cracking a sweet bottle of champagne.
I don't know what you're doing here. It seems like you're arguing that you're more insane than I am, and I'm fine with that. That you win, okay?
The world's more insane, Pete, and that's why I'm no more about champagne than you. Shouts to May versus the Deep as a fight.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see that.
Every time the Deep is mentioned, you go nuts.
He's been in every episode. They refuse to let an episode go by.
He's
got to
show up, right? I mean, that's just...
They're getting that dude paid, and I appreciate it. I love the Cypher moment when he hates the angle of their spy cam. That was just really fun. And then lastly,
and that's after the horrible angle of his nuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
that's
exactly. He's very conscious. He doesn't want chin up when we just looked into his butthole.
Yeah.
Into the dark heart. The last thing I want to say is I really thought Jordyn was going to die.
Oh, yeah. Really? That got scary. Yeah. When she was floating him and you're like, don't do the goat again. Don't do it. And Jordyn starts making the face. Oh, I was really scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was worried.
Because I thought back to Cypher being like, hey, you're fine. Jordyn's not, but you are. And
well,
I was like,
I mean,
shit.
Shout out to the show for getting us to think that, where anything really can go, and it really feels like nobody has plot armor. And particularly like you're saying, that Jordyn, basically whenever anybody has a real hero moment, they're punished for it in this world. Like, that does not go well for them. Things get exponentially worse. And that's what Jordyn had the last episode, was really standing up for what they believe in. So, yeah, it makes sense that they could eliminate this episode, but thankfully they didn't.
Yeah, they did not. And kind of an example of that, and also a fun editing, is, you know, when they're coming up with their plan for the fight night, and then it just cuts to this unsafe places. I was like, oh, my God, that's funny. Just an example of, like, not only the poking fun at things, but also the danger of all this. So it's impressive.
To wrap up here, I forgot that we do this on the podcast for the past two episodes, but who was best boy in the episode?
Yes,
that's how we ended. I got a little confused where we were speculating, but we don't speculate here. We just talk about who was best boy in the episode. So, Justin, who was your best boy?
Oh.
Mm, great question.
I'll go if you need time.
Go for it.
I'm just going to say Emma. I thought Emma had an amazing episode. The way she not only grew from the training and the conversations, the tough conversations, but also like her kind of doing better and working with others. So, yeah, it's impressive to see her growth and just really fun moments, too, in this episode.
Wow, that's surprising. Pete, can you change your username real quick to Pete EBC so you can be Emma Baby Emma? Just to reflect that. Okay,
yeah,
thank you so much.
Definitely. EBE. Yeah, I'll get it on that.
I'm going to give a controversial answer that is very much CBC. I'm going to say Cypher. Like,
dude,
no character.
Alex's That's all Alex has. Is
that's
Cypher.
Pete's favorite character. Pete loves Cypher.
Don't try to twist this, bro. You the one on record
don't
for
get
years
it twisted
saying
like Twisted Tea, which comes in those regular size cans? I don't know. You tell me.
No, they call it tall cans. They come in tall cans.
Oh, they come in tall cans?
No, okay. I think Twisted Tea comes in a regular can. You're thinking of Arizona tea. But what I'm actually thinking about is that Cypher is a rare character that, like, I really don't ever know what's going to happen next with him. And his performance, Hamish Linklater's performance is so great.
When he gets angry, it is scary, man.
Yeah, he's so good.
You don't get a choice. I was like, holy shit.
He's funny. He's terrifying. He's the central plot device for this season. And I think it's really great to watch him.
I'm going to throw it out to Kate, baby Kate. I do like seeing her back in the fold. She is very fun. The position she's in is really interesting and enjoyable. The whole gnome thing was great as well. So very excited to see where she goes, whether she does turn to evil or not. And if you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts,
fuck? I say Kate's cool and she's on the comeback. And you tear me apart, and Alex says it 2 minutes later, and you're like, okay, cool, yeah.
Seemed fine to me.
We have a financial relationship that legally precludes him ripping into me in any way.
Wow. Get involved in a triangle, baby, and I'll back you to the bone.
Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support this show and all the shows we do. We do a live show Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on YouTube. You can come hang out and chat about the boys and Gen
sure
V. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, those boys, let's hear it for them.
Cuddle up with someone you love with a pubes for new noobs pube blanket. It's wintertime almost, folks.
Where does he get those pubes?
Where does he get those wonderful pubes?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.